Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is November 27th. We are like really hitting the end of this month, and we are expecting a huge rainstorm in Southern California. Now, there's a burn area, and I live close to it, and probably way too close for comfort. However, we are expecting a big storm on Thursday, and just, you know, everyone's got their thing. We've got the snowstorms, we've got the firestorms, we've got the rainstorms, and it just keeps it all going, keeps life going one way or another. Today, I wanted to talk. Every time we get close to the holidays, I want to talk about things like where people start feeling stressed and they need to control and they need to take a charge and they need to make sure everything goes right. But how much control do we have or should we have of our partners? Because I have so many people, and more than I would like to count, come to me and say, I can't say what I want, because if I do, he or she will get upset. So I just put up and shut up, basically, and I do what I'm supposed to do, but I'd really kind of like to have a quiet Christmas, to have a bigger Christmas, or they don't like gifts, and they don't believe in celebrating these, in quotes, commercial holidays. And, you know, everybody has their way of dealing with the holidays. But one or the other ends up giving up what they would really like to see happen because there isn't a discussion, there's an assumption. And I had to think about that because it's like little stuff, but it adds up, because once you start giving up what you may desire or you may want, over time, you start doing what you want to do. They start doing what they want to do because there's no other way for you to do what you want to do unless you do it separately. Be that way, then it's a problem. If you're happy that way and you can live kind of side by side, then that's a perfect situation. It's not about a right or wrong. It's about an agreement between the couple. Because kids are easy. You know, you put up a tree, they love it. You got gifts, they love it. You cook, you know, everything's brand new to them. They don't have those preferences really yet until they get in a situation where those decisions are theirs to make. But with your partner, what happens is the atmosphere that is created, the tradition that is created in your world, that part of it, whatever it ends up like, where one cares and one doesn't, one decorates, one doesn't want it, you know, one loves to buy gifts, the other doesn't know how to buy gifts, isn't good at it, or just says they're not good at it because they really just don't know where to start. And then you guys decide somewhere in there, okay, this is just how it's going to be. And it becomes that way every year, and you get better and better at that role over time. But should we have control of our partners, of where our partners go, what our partners do, what they see? And I always go back to when you met that person, you fell in love with somebody who figured out a lot in their lives by the time they got to you. They don't really need to be controlled. You fell in love with somebody who made good enough decisions for them to attract you to their lives and you to theirs. What's really important, and this is the part that I wanted to really dig into today, was allowing your partner to be who they are. That person you met excited you, caught your attention, made you feel like, hey, you know what? We can actually plan together. We can create a life together. And sometimes, and the whole control thing is a whole nother story. I was talking to someone about it last night, and he actually wrote me, and he's a baseball person. And he said, I am looking at what your show is about. And he just immediately went into a conversation about narcissism. And narcissism is a very lonely, it's called, what did he call it? Narcissistic personality disorder. And it is a disorder because it isolates the person who has it. And when I pray at night, one of my most common ones is to give the narcissistic person some sense of perspective, because their insecurity is what leads control. That insecurity, that fear of not being loved. But on the other hand, they're also the opposite thinkers that Christ talks about in Origins of Truth, which I didn't even put that all together right away. But when we have someone who comes in and needs to control us, and they do it not by telling us what to do, they shape us. I don't like this, I like that. I don't like this, I like that. And before you know it, you have a list longer than your arm of things they don't like, and the things they do like are two or three things, which now you cater to over time. It's not like they come in and they control you, or you would never stay. And most of the time, the first, well, not most of the time, statistically, the first 7 meetings you have with somebody who is narcissistic in nature, they controlling behavior. If anything, the opposite is they're very open. They just, you know, when they meet somebody, they're so fueled, they tell you everything. And that's why I always say, really listen in the beginning, because they will tell you everything from their last relationship down to the conversations that they have. They will give you a roadmap of where they're taking you, but they don't know they're doing it because the blind, again, in Origins of Truth, the blind. So should we have control of our partners? That's a big no. No. Giving up control of our partners is what allows us to continue to have a healthy, growing relationship that's fueled by both souls. Whatever it is you agree on, I don't care what it is you agree on, as long as the two of you agree. Otherwise, you will have, and this is the drivers of the relationship, control and guilt. But those things will be what actually moves the relationship along. And when you have that, resentments come in, arguments come in, thresholds of how disastrous the arguments get over time. If you notice, you know, people don't just get in a relationship and then the person strikes the other person on the first time. That comes over time when you have to show them how really mad you are this time. So the thresholds build over time when there's a sense of control in the relationship. This is a big deal, because a lot of the stuff we hear about goes back to one person trying to control another. Anyone who starts to realize that they're under the umbrella of someone else's control tries to get out, or they try to show that person over and over and over again what they're doing. And it is tiresome. It is exhausting. Anything we try to control is run by fear, which is void of love. which is why anger is so easy to be had in those situations. The energy exchange with fear is actually more fear. It's like the fear exponentializes. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger because now you're like, well, I can never say that in front of him or her. I can't do that in front of them. I can't ever expect for that person to care about me. And I've heard that. And I've heard it from people who were married for a long time. And I heard it by the time the stuff they were holding inside started manifesting in physical ailments so that they can prove something's actually wrong. Look, I'm sick. So when you have all of that going on, go back to where the control started. Even in older relationships I had, when I was too young to even know what narcissism was, neither of my parents were. I had no idea what narcissism was capable of, what control of another person, why that was needed by some personalities. But when you run into that personality, you have to know that it's just not okay to be there. And a lot of times they don't let people out easily. They either, you know, they try to control you. And this is the one thing that the person said last night, and it was so true. It's just control and money. They pull the purse strings so they can financially. And it's textbook. As individual as people think control is, it is textbook. And hopefully one day we will trivialize how silly control is and what it looks like to the point where we can see it totally clearly. Because we are evolving to that. Even children, parents who try to control children too much end up with very rebellious kids. Kid wants to do, that kid wants to establish that they have a mind of their own. They want to establish wholeheartedly that they can function in the world without somebody telling them what to do every step of the way. There was a situation once where my son, I noticed, you know, with autistics, they have habits. And once they have a habit, that habit just sticks. It's like that's their protocol. That's their way of doing it. And until somebody tells, they don't know. They don't have conceptual thought. So one day, I noticed that my son, when he washed his hands, did it in like, I want to say maybe 10 seconds or less. He literally opened the water, wet a few fingers, and then was going to dry his hands. So I said to him, did you notice that you don't actually wash your hands? And he's like, Mom, I know how to wash my hands. And when he said that, we both just blurted out laughing because it sounded so silly for me to have said that and him to have said that. So it just was like this joke, like, Mom, and now we always say, Mom, I know how to wash my hands. I'm not a controlling person, but I got worried. And what I didn't know was that he was in a rush and whatever. So, you know, it was something we were both able to see in a moment because I normally am not a person who's telling him what to do, nor do I try to tell him what to do. If someone comes to me, that's fine. But I normally don't go and slap myself on top of situations and get myself involved and know everything because I love not knowing everything is kind of where I live. So, but it was interesting because it was like this microcosm because an autistic cannot hide their feelings. And I thought, wow, that immediate reaction I got from him is exactly how we feel when we don't say something, when someone is controlling us. And also, if we're the ones who want to control someone else, that's how they feel. that's all held inside because we have conceptual thought. We can hold on to things. And we think they won't build up, and we think we have it under control. So not only is someone controlling us, but we think we have our feelings under control with the person controlling us. It's a very weird growing to grow under the umbrella of control. Anyone we control too much is going to seep out of the sides one way or another. And they were even saying in company situations, Richard Branson. And he said, your best, basically something, I'm paraphrasing, your best advertisement for any company is to treat your employees well. And if you treat your employees well, they'll be really good to your customers. And immediately I thought of all the companies that employees have told me, they don't pay us well. I could lose my job tomorrow. And now not only am I buying a product from this company, whatever company it is, but now I'm thinking about how they don't take care of their people. So I don't feel like if I have an issue with that product, I'm going to be taken care of. That lost art of autonomy, of trusting, of being around people who feel like they can handle, when we see it, we know we're seeing it. That's how rare it is. And we feel empowered when we see anyone who breaks the chains of the umbrellas of control. And there's a lot of them. Don't talk about this. Don't do that. And then when it whittles down into our partnership, then we start to feel like we don't have a safe place. And then we start carrying that stress. Issue when Christ told me that if anything produces fear, doubt, worry, control, or guilt, it's not from God. So God is love, so it's not driven by love. And that absence of love is what feels void in us, no matter who's controlling us. So let's say you're a person who allows other people to dictate to you who you have to be or why you have to be the person you are. There's Liam in the chat who said, why are some people susceptible to going for relationships in which they are controlled in over and over again? A lot of it is, it may be a natural fit from how they were raised. Most of the time, you don't even know that you're attracted to a person because they are controlling you because you were controlled, and that's where you feel comfortable. Uneasiness at home, you start feeling it with your partner. I come from a culture, just a culture that had so much control over the people in it that you actually felt like you had to die to get your own life back or run away, literally just cut and dry, run away and never see the people again. And I know people who've done it. I even did it. But I couldn't take the pain I inflicted on my parents and I went back. But I used to wonder, who has the right to take our rights away from? Who has the right to take anyone's right away from them? And in Little Wing, I wrote that poem. I remember the day I wrote it, taking a sperm and an egg from the day they were fertilized to the day the person died and just repeating the cycle and wondering why anyone had to be born if they just had to do the same things over and over again. And it's no mistake that in my life, I end up fighting for people to bridge their souls back to them. It's all making sense to me now because the only person who owns your soul, you. God does not own your soul. You are a part of God. We all have that love in us, that God's love in us. But even God does not interfere with our free will. So if God doesn't interfere with our free will, how did we get to the point of allowing others to do that? We allowed it by being in the places where love is void, where there is fear, where there is doubt, where there is worry, where there is control, where there is guilt. Because there, we, you know, that fork in the road, we go down that fork in the road that just produces negative begets negative, or we got a road that says positive begets positive. And it doesn't have to be over the charts positive, but it always ends up being over the charts negative. Because what happens is over time, negative brings more negative. So if you're used to living in fear, you're going to manifest characteristics of fear. I have a sister who told another sister, because I have three sisters and two brothers. And I can clearly see how stress affects every single one of us differently. And the ones that carry the most worry are fighting an ailment over and over and over and over again. Because we become what we think. And fear is a long, lonely road that isolates us, makes us feel like nobody's really there, even though we're filled in a house of people for us. But the reason we feel that nobody is there for us is because we aren't there for ourselves. When we give up somebody else dictate to our world that it's okay to tell me what to do and I will try to deliver, and if I can't, I'm going to feel even worse about myself. Really think about that. Not only are you working for that person, but if you can't deliver, you're going to actually take on the angst of not being able to deliver. So when we have control over a partner, two things are going to happen. One, the partner's going to disappear. There's nothing for them to offer if they're being controlled. And the controlling one is going to have such a short-sighted vision of the relationship that they are not going to respect the relationship ultimately. Control is an energy suck, if there's any word for it. It has everything that we are not looking for in life inside of it. And when somebody's overt, where they're just black and white statements, if you do this, you're out, and if you don't do this, you're in. How many times will people do the thing that takes them out to test the system? Many times. That's why in Origins of Truth, yet again, that book is just like, it's like a big, oh my God. But Christ said in it, the more laws we have, the more trouble we will get. The more laws we have, because the people who make the laws created the laws for so that nobody else will do it. In some instances, when I was a stockbroker out of college, every time there would be a loop that someone would find that would make a windfall of money from it, it took 50 laws to plug that hole, or 100 laws to plug that hole so that nobody could do that again. And then someone finds another loop and it goes on and on and on after the fact. So the more laws we start to have, if you go back and you find out, well, now you got to know someone to get something done because the laws are too rigid and there's too much control. And when there's too much control, we're human beings. We're thrivers. We're survivors. We need our autonomy at some point. Not everyone can be put under an iron umbrella. Things start coming out of the sides. People start reacting to the stress. And then they start lashing out. It happens in relationships. It happens in government. It happens in groups that want to control people. So control being part of a partnership, that isn't a partnership. It is an illusion of a partnership. Partners don't need to control each other. So when you say my partner is controlling, what you're really saying is I'm not a partner by my own doing. And it's hard to take responsibility when you've allowed yourself to be controlled. I was for 13 years of my life in a very big way. And then, crazy enough, I almost got myself into another situation with a different person who had the same personality, but I couldn't figure out why I felt so comfortable there. But the reason I felt comfortable there when I first met him was because I knew what to do. And that gave me comfort somehow. I was like, oh, good, plug me in. I know exactly what to do here because it's all I knew. I remember consciously thinking that people who were nice were lightweight because I wasn't used to nice. I wasn't used to acceptance. I was used to splitting myself in two. I have my life with them, and then I have my life that nobody knows about, which was my own quiet time that I needed away from somebody else's control. And I figured I could do the control. That was easy. That was the easy part. But I needed to balance myself with things I could feel like I had a sense of autonomy in. So should we have control of our partners? No, because then we are not partners. We are not partners. Whatever it is you do, if you both agree, then you're both fine. Whatever it is you agree on, as long as it's both of you. Because that creates balance, that gives room for growth, that gives room for you to have future discussions about things you may want to introduce into your life or try or explore. Control over the years, you would never even bring it up. That's the difference. You guys, tomorrow is Relationship Wednesday. I can't wait to see you. Have a great Tuesday. Enjoy today. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.